Merry Christmas. Yes, it's okay to say Merry Christmas. Christmas is the season to celebrate Jesus. You can find this study on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Christmas is time to celebrate on abideinchrist.com. abideinchrist.com. Abideinchrist.com, and go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Or go to Christmas Resources on Abide in Christ. Christmas is time to celebrate. The physician Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the story about Christmas. And now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the city of David to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to the firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes, and wrapped him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be ashamed, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Christmas, it's time to celebrate. And Christmas is a time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the anointed of the Lord, the Messiah. And the first to celebrate were some shepherds outside of the town of Bethlehem. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Angels joined them announcing the birth of a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly the whole heaven were praising God. And they were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men to whom he is pleased." Verse 14. Heaven is still worshiping him. The Apostle John was permitted to peek in and see what was taking place around the throne of the Lord God. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seal. For thou wast slain, and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they are still singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Are you celebrating his coming today? Come, let's celebrate. God says it's time to celebrate. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Shepherds worship. The first to celebrate were some poor, despised, downtrodden shepherds. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flocks by night, in verse 8. They were looked down upon, excluded from society. The rabbis despised them as the next door to the heathen. They were involved in mundane routine, keeping the woolies in the night. And these shepherds were probably temple shepherds, making sure that there would be unblemished lambs to be sacrificed to God in the morning and the evening sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple not far away. The temple flock was pastured near the town of Bethlehem. Did these shepherds perceive that they were worshiping the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world? In John chapter 1, verse 29. James Kelso, an archaeologist, observed the landscape one year while working in the area of Israel. He thinks the best season for the shepherds of Bethlehem is the winter when heavy rains bring up a luscious crop of new grass. After the rains, the once barren, brown, desert earth is suddenly a field of brilliant green. One shepherd stayed with his flock at the same point for 3 weeks so luscious green grass could be provided for the lambs. But as soon as the rain stopped in the springtime, the land quickly took on its normal desert look once again. He concludes, December or January would be the most likely months the shepherds came to see the child Jesus. God passed over the self-important, the high priest, Herod the Great, Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, the theologians, the politicians, Rome and Jerusalem. Wait. Does God have his values misplaced? The Son of God is lying in an animal's feeding trough. Verse 9 tells us about the Shekinah glory of God. The temple shepherds saw the Shekinah glory of God for the first time in centuries. The Lord God announced the arrival of the Good Shepherd to these bone-tired shepherds who were tending the lambs for the temple sacrifices. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The Greek does not say the angel of the Lord, but an angel of the Lord. It is not a Christophany as in the Old Testament. It is not a certain specific angel as the angel of the Lord, who was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This was a regular angel sent to announce the coming of the Messiah. Phillips translates, "The splendor of the Lord blazed around them. All is quiet in the night, and suddenly it happened. The glory of the Lord flashed all around them. Heavenly brightness, manifestation of God's presence and power, like at the burning bush in the tabernacle." The glory of the Lord shone around them. And the idea is to encircle, to encompass with light. The shepherds were completely encompassed in light, and the light of the Shekinah of the Lord God. And this light was the Shekinah, the brilliant white light of God's eternal glory. It represented the holy presence of the Lord God, as we find in Exodus chapter 24, verses 16 and 17. This was the same light that would be seen later at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. For over 500 years, the people of Israel had not seen the visible manifestation of Yahweh's presence with them, and now He has revealed himself to these humble shepherds, not in the high priest, the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, but in his only one-of-a-kind son. The message of the angel is described for us in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Angels always have something funny to say. Imagine you're being startled by a heavenly messenger And then he says to you, stop being afraid. These poor shepherds were terribly frightened, terror-stricken, seized with fear, so the angel calms them down so they can hear the true meaning of Christmas. We've come with some good news. It is good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Literally, the angel said, I evangelize you with great joy. And it's not just for you, but also for all the people. The implication is, now you go and tell what you know. The good news is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has been born. The angel told them, for today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I wonder if the good news is that these humble shepherds are the ones God has prepared to hear the word. Perhaps in the quietness of the night, they have reflected on the destiny of the sheep that they have become attached to and are quietly awaiting the Lamb of God. A.T. Robertson, the old Greek scholar, said, this great word, Savior, is common in Luke and Paul and seldom used elsewhere in the New Testament. The people under Rome's rule came to call the emperor Savior, and the Christians took the word and used it for Christ the Messiah. Every word in that great statement in verse 11 is loaded with great truth. The city of David, the city of Bethlehem, the one that the prophet Micah spoke of, is the location of this marvelous event tonight. The Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Lord, has to come from David's city. He cannot be born anywhere else and be the Messiah. If Jesus had been born in Nazareth and claimed to be the Messiah, every Jewish scholar would have declared him an impostor, and rightly so. Being born in Bethlehem, Judea, is part of his credentials. The combination, Christ the Lord, occurs only here in the New Testament. It's best to take it in its fullest meaning. He is clearly the longed-for expectation in the Old Testament of Christ, the Anointed of the Lord. The stress in the original language is on the character and the quality of this person's life. Christ, Christos, is from the Greek word meaning the Anointed One. And the word Messiah is from the Hebrew word for Anointed One. As the Anointed of the Lord, he is the Spirit-controlled man. It is characteristic of his very nature. And this technical meaning of Messiah is found in Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Who? The Messiah. Luke has already stated the role of the Anointed One in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 35. The emphasis on the fact that Jesus is a descendant of the house of David underscores this messianic character. And this is the message throughout chapter 1 of Luke. The word Lord, Kurios, is used here for Yahweh Jehovah of the Old Testament. And the Anointed One is also the embodiment of God, undiminished deity, as Paul tells us, for in him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He has been born today. It's a paradox, and seemingly a contradiction. He who was and is eternal God has been also born. He became flesh. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given. And when God became man and took upon himself true humanity, he became a baby. And yes, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace has been born. And the 400 years of silence was suddenly broken. God spoke. Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Today, how do you know all of this is true? Here is the objective evidence. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger, in verse 12. How will you be able to identify him? Why, go to Bethlehem, go to the city of David, and find a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a cow trough. Perhaps Jesus was not the only one born that night in Bethlehem, but there was no other newborn baby found in a feeding trough that night. Verses 13 and 14 tells us to bring out the band. If that was not enough to get those shepherds on the move, suddenly a great army of heaven starts praising God and giving him glory and honor for what is taking place. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest on the earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Call out the troops. Surprise follows surprise. And all of a sudden, an entire army of angels descends around those shepherds. Celestial brightness blazed all around them. Can you celebrate the true meaning of Christmas? Have you come to give Christ your whole heart? Do you have the integrity of heart? Do you know the deep, intimate peace of God? Can you sing and praise and glorify his name this day? The Christmas story tells us there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It should cause our hearts to sing out Gloria in Excelsis Deo. It's a hymn of praise to the Lord God. The birth of the Savior brings glory to God. He is held in the highest opinion and esteem, and therefore praise and honor and glory. He alone receives the most exalted place in the universe. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The shepherds weren't excited about meeting angels, but experiencing the glory of God's holy presence. Let's see for ourselves. Look at verses 15 and 16. "And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And so they came in a hurry, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." The shepherds kept saying to one another, "Let's go with urgency and see for ourselves." The uniqueness of the Christian faith is that each individual must come to an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No one else's faith can count for yours. Your mother, your father may have been faithful Christians, but their faith or good life will not save you. Even though Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in your place to pay your sin debt, you cannot have a right relationship with God until you acknowledge to him that you're a sinner and believe on him. Eternal life is a free gift, but it's not automatic, it's not universal. It takes a personal faith in Jesus Christ to save you. The Savior is Christ the Lord. There's none other. He is no longer a baby, nor confined to a crib. He is now seated at the right hand of God and aware of our attitudes and actions toward Him. We should store up in our memory His word and ponder it in our hearts, because one day we will each one stand before Him and give an account of ourselves to Him. And when God spoke, Mary listened. God has spoken to us. Have we listened to Him? What is our personal response to the demands of Jesus Christ upon each one of us? The great shepherd has come. What is your response to Him? And Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 tells us about the first missionaries in the New Testament. Luke tells us the first missionaries were some crusty old, weather-beaten shepherds who hastened to go and tell some good news. And when they had seen Him, they made known the statement which had been told them about Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds kept on searching around the night until they found a baby in a manger, and when they had seen this, they spread the word concerning Him. John Green declared 200 years ago in England, "Never had religion seemed at a low ebb. Statesmen are unbelievers and grossly immoral. Purity and fidelity are sneered at of fashion, and 20 young thieves are hung in one day in one prison." And as White asked, who could have guessed that in that age God was preparing the Wesleys, the Whitfields for England, the Haldanes of Scotland, and Kerry for the world? God is at work all about us. Let's plead with Him to prepare our hearts to a place where He can feel free to invite us to come and join Him in what He is doing. Mary pulled out a baby book, Luke chapter 2, verse 19. What do mothers do when a baby is born? They start a baby book. Well, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary was treasuring, carefully storing away and putting them all together in the mind. The word means to keep in mind, to hold, or to treasure up in one's memory. And as she treasured these things in her mind, she was pondering, reflecting upon, placing together by comparison all these experiences. Imagine for a moment what it was like when Dr. Luke interviewed her 40 years later for his gospel. He knew the right questions to ask Mary. She is his source for this passage. I can hear her talking about Jesus, taking out her baby book and the treasure of her memory, and walking Him through each page. Will it not be wonderful when we get a chance to talk to her personally in heaven and ask all the questions that we want to ask? It will not be an invasion of her privacy. It will be the joy of that little mother's heart to tell about her family here on the earth. What's in the treasure book of your heart today? What are you storing up in the memory cells of your heart? Do you often reflect upon what is there? Is there a growing experience with Jesus Christ? This is the only way Christ can ever settle down and make Himself at home. And by doing the same thing as Mary did, you are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. What kind of song are you singing this Christmas? Verse 20 tells us that these old shepherds had the privilege of seeing it for themselves. They went back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Our response can be like the shepherds in verse 20. What song are you singing this Christmas? You can't sing unless you have a song. And those shepherds have just left the greatest worship service they had ever attended. They were full of song and message from God. They had no other song to sing but Jesus. And when the Jewish father had a son born to him, they brought out the band, and the local musicians gathered at the father's home and greeted him with music. And when the heavenly father's son became flesh, he gathered his celestial choir, and they sang songs of praise to him. The angels of heaven sang songs for Jesus when there was no earthly singers to sing. The heavenly Father is celebrating that night in Bethlehem. Are you glorifying and praising God for all that you have heard and seen today? Has He put a song in your heart? Have you seen and heard things that cause you to go back from whence you came with a song of glorifying and praising God? The need to praise God is universal. And this passage of Scripture should encourage us to join in the heavenly choir. We need a daily to give verbal praise to the Lord God. What about in your relationship with God today? Have you come to the place and can say with all of your heart that today in the city of David there's been born a Savior, Christ the Lord? Have you come to the place in your life where you have confessed your sin to Him and believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You see, Christmas is all about God's love. Christmas tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the message of Christmas. It's the message of God's love and grace for the sinner. It's the message for every individual who will come and confess to the Lord God that they're sinners, that they've come short of the glory of God, and they need a Savior. You see, the Bible tells us that we all need the Savior. The Bible tells us, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a clear declaration that every individual listening to my voice today has failed to be what God wants you to be. You have an F on your spiritual report card. And that's why we need a Savior. Because we have failed. And it's absolutely impossible for us to merit eternal life. It's impossible for us to come to God with gifts to Him because our hands are filthy with sin. Our hearts are filthy with sin. We need a Savior. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Every one of us are going to die and stand before the Lord God and give an account of our life. But we can praise God for His saving grace. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Have you come to the place in your personal life that you have an intimate personal relationship with Him? The fact is, God loves you. Christ went to the cross and died for you. Have you put your faith and trust in Him as your Savior? What must you do to be saved? The Bible simply says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call upon Him right now, this very moment. What greater time for an individual to put the faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior, than right now, this very moment. As you celebrate with all of your heart and with all your soul, I'm saved. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved because Christ was born to die for all of my sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved today. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today. Merry Christmas.